All right, so this is the word of God that I had actually asked Barry earlier in the week to read for us today. And I mean, that was pretty good, man. That was like remarkable. You just shifted on the fly, and that's really good. So Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 say this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You all, you're so wonderful. You're so well-trained. I didn't ask you to stand, but you just did it because you do it all the time. You want to show your respect for the word of God? I love it. Please stand if you want to. If you're able to, that's great. I love it. It's this back row here, just standing up because it's the word of God. Amen. Amen. All right. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Thank you so much. Please be seated. I really do appreciate it. Look, this is one of the most beloved promises in the whole Bible. The promise that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit prays for us. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you feel like you know you need to pray about something, but you can't even figure out how to pray about it? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah? Okay, thank you. Most Christians come to that place. This passage specifically talks about how sometimes we know that things are out of sorts, and we know that we should be asking God to fix things. We just don't know what we should be asking God to do. We don't know what God's plan is. We don't know what God's will is. We don't even exactly know what God wants, and sometimes we don't even know what we want. Other times, we know exactly what we want, but we're just not really sure it's right. And we're praying, and we'd like to be praying, but we don't even know how to pray. And what this says is that in times like that, the Spirit of God, who lives in us, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, prays for us. And I want to talk about this. I want to look into this. This is beautiful. I want to show you five pieces of joyous news in just these two verses. All right? Five pieces of joyous news. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit helps us now before our final transformation. You might remember that we've been talking about how the Spirit of God is the Spirit of hope. And the hope that he gives is a hope for all of creation, and it's specifically a hope for Christians. And we've talked about that for the last two Sundays. Okay, those are the last two sermons. Hope for all of creation and hope for Christians, the sons of God. Okay? But that was hope that talked about the end of time. And if you were here the last couple of Sundays, then you know that we talked about some really weird, wild stuff. Okay? Looking all the way to the end of history. And all the way back to the beginning of history as well, if you remember. But what this does in this little word, likewise, that starts off this passage, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I think when Paul says us, he's speaking specifically to the Roman Christians that he was writing to. And he's speaking to anybody else who is in the in-between time, okay? Sometime after Jesus has ascended back to heaven, he is risen from the dead, he's ascended to heaven, he's been seated at the Father's right hand, and we're waiting for him to return one day and renew everything and transform us and transform everything, and we look forward to that day. Praise God, we can't wait for it to happen. We hope it's today. I hope it's today. Amen. But people have been hoping that for a couple thousand years now. And we are in the same place where the Roman Christians were. We're in a place where we are not transformed yet. We're not tasting the fullness of our adoption. We're not experiencing the completion of our redemption. We're in this in-between time. He calls this a time of weakness. And what he's saying right now is the Holy Spirit helps us right now when it's still a mess. And that's really, really good news. I mean, I am thrilled that one day I will experience total transformation when Jesus Christ returns. But I need to know that God, the Holy Spirit, is doing something for me right now. And so do you. We all do. It's the marvelous, marvelous ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not just fixing our hope on that beautiful future final transformation that we'll experience, but right here, right now, while we're still in our weak, wobbly, grimy, unglorified, untransformed state, right now, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's just good news. That's unbelievably good news. That's a piece of joyous news for me and for you. Here's a second one. The Holy Spirit sees our needs better than we do. He sees our needs better than we do. This is what Scripture says. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. Did you hear that? This may not be a very popular or friendly thought, but I'm going to say it anyway because the Scripture says it, okay? There are things that we ought to be praying for. And that means, conversely, that there are probably some things that we probably ought not be praying for. In fact, James makes that point. You ask amiss, he says. You ask for the wrong things. And the truth is that a lot of us, in fact, dare I say, all of us, find ourselves wanting things, yearning for things, sometimes begging and pleading for things that actually aren't what's good for us and aren't what we need. Example. When I was a single man, I knew more than one young woman that I swore I had to have for the rest of my life. That makes my daughter really uncomfortable to hear that. Sorry, darling. But it's true. When I was in high school, and especially when I was in college, there were a couple of young ladies that I just was gaga for, and I was begging God. I gotta have this girl. And in one time, the clearest time in my life, well, maybe it was, the clearest time in my life when God said, almost audibly in my mind as I was praying at night on my pillow, literally face down on my pillow, begging God, I gotta have her. And what God said was, no, I love you too much. Now, you know me, I tend to be really suspicious when people start saying God said, you know. So I want a book, chapter, and verse, please. But I do believe that sometimes God in very, very intimate, personal ways can clearly speak to us and let us know something. And it was very clear in my mind the Spirit of God was saying to me, no. Because what I was praying for, what I was swearing to God that I needed, was not what I needed. It was just what I wanted. And the truth is, all of us have moments like that. In fact, we probably have more moments like that than not. And in fact, the whole process of Christian growth is learning to retrain that wanter that you have in your head so that it wants what God wants and not what I myself want. My own flesh. Or your own flesh. What does God want? It takes a little while to retrain that. Now look, some of you were very, very blessed to have Christian parents who taught you when you were young what is right and what is wrong and what God wants and what God doesn't want. And if you're like most people, then you've been through a period you went through, maybe sometimes you still are, in a period of rebellion where you're going to go your own way, do your own thing, okay? But the truth is, there are certain things that God does want. And the process of growing in the image of Christ means I'm growing to want what God wants, to love what God loves, and yes, to hate what God hates. I don't know the mind of God. How are you going to get the mind of God? Where are you going to get the mind of God? Some people would say, you know, just assume the position and go start going, oh, and you know, if you just meditate the right way with some sort of Eastern mystical things and like burn some incense, then you'll get the mind. Some people say that. That's a bunch of malarkey. If you want the mind of God, how do you get it? Meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. That's how you get the mind of God. He has spoken in his word. That's why we tell you to read your Bible, study your Bible, meditate on your Bible. That's the reason why you memorize your Bible. Well, not the whole thing, maybe. I haven't got the whole thing memorized yet. Never will. But that's the reason why you memorize your Bible. Not so that you can win the Bible quiz when you're a kid. Well, when I was a kid, that's why. So I could do better than any other kid. But as an adult, why do you memorize the Bible? So that you can meditate on it in the moments when you need to know what it is that God wants. How is it that God thinks? How does God see the situation in which I find myself? But even in no matter how much Bible you have memorized and meditated on, the truth is, you still don't have complete 100% access to the mind of God. And you don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. So, what does God do? God says, I'm living in you. And I, God the Holy Spirit, am praying to me, God the Father, because of what I, God the Holy Spirit, did for you on the cross, I'm praying for you. I am praying the prayers that you would pray if you knew what you were doing. But since you don't know what you're doing, I'm praying them for you. Isn't that good news? That's great news. Now, let me tell you the people for whom it's not good news. Okay? The people who think, I know who I am, I know what I want, and they don't need some God to come along and tell me what I'm supposed to be thinking. People who are thinking like that, this is bad news for them. See what I'm saying? Because this says that the bad news that you need to face up to is that we don't know what we want, but the good news that we need to hear is that God the Holy Spirit is praying for us with exactly the prayers that we need. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. For we do not know. The word for lets us know that a key component of our unglorified, untransformed weakness is that we don't know what we ought to be praying for. You get this? Now look, okay, who are the most mature men in the church? Other than the pastor and the assistant pastor, who are the men that are set before you as examples of Christian maturity? Well, they would be elders, if we had any. But right now we have some deacons. The difference between an elder and a deacon, according to what the Bible says, is that elders are to teach the word of God, and they're supposed to be able to teach. That's what the scripture says. Whereas deacons are no less examples of spiritual maturity. Okay? So we have a couple. I'm looking right at them. Examples of spiritual maturity. Okay? Good men. Godly men. Love those two men. Do these guys have an infallible in into the mind of God? They always know what they ought to pray for. No? You think your pastor does? No? No? But I've got the Spirit of God living in me. They've got the Spirit of God living in them. You've got the Spirit of God living in you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And so this progressive sanctification that all Christians are going through, the transformation that is happening right now, that is the foretaste of the transformation that we will receive at the end of time, this growth in Christ-likeness that anticipates the complete Christ-likeness that will be ours when Jesus Christ comes back, it's happening right now in us through the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. I love that word, intercede. It means he prays for us. He mediates. He pleads. He negotiates with the Father on our behalf. We don't even know what we ought to be praying about most of the time. We're on another track entirely. Sometimes I'm wanting the exact opposite thing of what God has planned for me and what God really wants for me. The blessed Holy Spirit knows exactly what we should be praying for. And what we would be praying for if we knew what to pray for. But he is praying. This is so good. This blows my mind. He is praying those prayers for me. The prayers that I ought to be praying, that I would be praying if I had like a sense. He's already praying for me. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen. Unless you thought prayer was like the little bell that you ring so the butler can come and bring you the flavor scones you want. You know? And you thought prayer was like that? Like you just tell God what you want and God's going to give it to you? I'm so sad that so many people in the world today have been taught that crazy false doctrine that that's what prayer is. The prayer is just you tell God what you want and God will give it to you. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it's intended to be. And this passage makes it very, very clear that that's not the way it is. the good news, if you get the good news here, you cannot mess up your prayers. I mean, you don't know what you ought to be praying for anyway. On the best of days, you don't know what you ought to be praying for. But the Spirit of God is praying the prayer that you ought to be praying. There is something that could be happening that would keep the Holy Spirit from praying the prayer that you ought to be praying. You know what that is? If you're not praying at all. You get that? If you're just saying, well, I don't understand this prayer thing anyways, I'm not going to do it. I'll figure it out. God does not want that. He's your Father. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. And he's promised that on the days when you are praying, and God make it so that you'll be praying every day, that when you're praying, if you belong to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is praying for you.
It's such good news. He sees our needs better than we do, and he's praying for us. All right, here's a third piece of joyous news. The Holy Spirit feels and speaks our hearts seamlessly. Now the previous one was, he knows what should be in our minds communicating to God, and oftentimes it's not what's in our mind. And so he just kind of jiggles things a little bit and says, Father, here's the stuff. Here's what Chris ought to be praying for, and this is what you need to be doing for him. He's a little messed up right now, as he always is, but he's praying and he really needs you. So this is the content. This is the mental thing that Chris ought to have right. That was the previous piece of good news. He's doing that for you. Isn't that good news? Good. But here's something else. A lot of times we think the mental is in our heads and the emotional is in our hearts. That's not exactly the way the Bible sees it. The Bible says the emotional stuff is in your guts. You ever notice that when things are really emotionally in a turmoil, you start getting stomach troubles? That happened to you? It happens to me. And the ancient Hebrews spoke this way, and the Bible's written this way. If you remember the old King James Bible, the bowels of compassion, you know, why bowels? Yeah. Right down here, down in your gut, what you feel, the Holy Spirit, he speaks that. Of course, the way we normally talk is our hearts, the things we care about, the things we feel about. The Holy Spirit sees those. He feels them. He speaks them to the Father. And he does it perfectly. Listen to what it says. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. In those deep, dark moments, when you not only don't know the content of your prayer, you also don't even know how to find words to say what you want to say. Even if what you want to say is messed up, you still can't find words for it. The Holy Spirit can find words. He knows what you need. He knows what you feel. He knows what you think, and he knows it, and he feels it, and he speaks it to the Father seamlessly. It's not just that the Holy Spirit can find the right words when you can't. It's that when sometimes we don't even know how to feel. Do you ever find those moments? When you go to yourself, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know how to feel about this. I think it hurts. I think I'm scared. I think I'm angry. I have this other feeling that I don't even know what the word for is. Wait a minute. Some of you looking like, what are you talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there where you've been so upset you don't even know what you're feeling? No, nothing? Okay. Man, I've been there. What this says is that in moments like that, the Spirit of God not only knows and can taste and smell and feel what I'm going through, but that he can express that and does express that to the Father through groanings that are too deep for words. So, some of you, this is a new idea, maybe. Some of you, you've heard this before. You've read it in your Bible. You've heard a sermon or two about it, or you've read some Sunday school lessons or whatever, and you know about it. But the truth is, I think most of us, this thought is distant from us. The thought that the Spirit of God is praying for us. So let's pause for a minute.
And let's just talk to our Father about this. Okay? Let's feel the Holy Spirit. Let's trust the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads. Holy Spirit, we find here in your word that you want a relationship with us that goes so much deeper than just our familiarity with your words in your book. It doesn't bypass those words and that book. It comes through those words in that book. But what we see here is that simply knowing the words and knowing the book is not enough. That you want us to feel the reality of your presence in us every day, every night, every moment. And especially in the moments of deepest pain or grief or anger, sorrow or confusion, fear, anxiety, depression. Terror. In the most intense moments that we're experiencing, you know, you feel, and if we couldn't even express it to the Father, you pray for us. Oh, Father, help us to feel that. Son, help us to rejoice, Son of God, that you gave yourself on the cross so that we could have this relationship with your Father and ours by your Spirit and the Spirit who is in us right now. Holy Spirit, help us to rest in you. Help us to trust you. Help us never, ever, ever to charge into prayer thinking that we can do it on our own. Oh, help us to remember every prayer we pray that we are utterly dependent. Not just on the Son of God to win us the right to speak to the Father by paying for our sins, but utterly dependent on the Spirit to actually bring our prayers to the Father, to actually express our prayers to the Father. Help us to rest in you. We don't even pray like we should. Lord Jesus, we don't do anything like we should. We know that's why you came for us. Holy Spirit, we don't do anything like we should. We know that's why you live in us. And Holy Father, how we rejoice at the incredible grace and mercy that you, one true triune God, shower upon us in this relationship with yourself that you give to us. Help us to rest. Help us to trust. Help us to pray. In our weakness, the Holy Spirit helps us. I will praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's the fourth piece of joyous news for you, for me, for all of us. The Holy Spirit is known by the Father utterly. You think, wait a minute, it's been so personal and so intimate and so, where's the deep theology? Okay, you want some deep theology? Then let's trot some out, okay? Because this blows my mind. Verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. First of all, we ought to ask ourselves, who is he who searches hearts? It's not Confucius. Okay. It's not Thor. It's not your psychiatrist. He who searches mind repeatedly in the Old Testament, the minds and the hearts of people are where God alone has access. Psalm 7 verse 9. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous. You who test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. Psalm 44. If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways. God the Father has perfect knowledge of what is in your mind and heart. Because he's God. He's omniscient. That's the word that the theologians use to say that he knows everything, including the deepest, darkest corners of your mind. He searches minds and hearts. And yet, what we have discovered is that God does that through his Holy Spirit. But now get this. God the Father not only has perfect knowledge of what is in your mind and heart, he has absolute knowledge of what is in the mind and heart of his own Spirit. The Spirit has such perfect knowledge of what we're thinking and feeling that he can pray for us with unutterable groanings, and yet the Father and the Spirit have such supreme, sublime, superlative knowledge of each other that we can't even begin to conceive. The Greek theologians of a couple hundred years after Christ had to actually invent a word for this. The word is perichoresis. Perichoresis, that's a Greek word that means interpenetration, the complete interpenetration of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that everything the Father thinks, feels, and chooses, the Son also thinks, feels, and chooses. And everything that the Father and the Son think and feel and choose, the Spirit of God also thinks and feels and chooses. Three distinct persons, one God with complete, absolute access into everything about each other at all times. So this is good news, or this is terrifying news, depending on how you think about it. The Holy Spirit knows you truly, deeply, intimately, comprehensively, as no other human being ever will or could know you. He lives in you with full access to every corner of your soul. And the Father and the Holy Spirit have such absolute knowledge of each other that we have to make up words to try and describe the relationship that they have. So just, I really want to ask you this question. Do you really think it's true this morning that no one knows what you're going through?
Say, wait a minute. How did you do that, preacher? How did you go from like this crazy ancient Greek theologian stuff to me right now? Because I'm telling you, what those ancient Greek theologians were talking about were things that people were dealing with back then as well. Thinking about who God is and what God's like. And they were thinking about how precious and how important and how necessary that is for human beings to know that our Creator knows us like that. Now, I also said that could be terrifying, precious and beautiful, but it could be terrifying. What would cause it to be terrifying? If you don't want God to have that kind of access to your mind, because you think your mind is your own. My heart is my own. My thoughts are my own. My life is my own. I didn't ask you to be in my head, God. Listen, there's a lot of people in the world who think that way. But if you can live with the fact, if you can accept the fact that God, the Creator, although you are a sinner who wants your own way and often goes your own way, still has done what he needed to do to make you his own child at the cost of giving his own son on the cross, he has now made you his own child so that you could have the most intensely personal relationship with God that you could ever imagine. And that's what this verse is about. It's about the Spirit of God praying for you. When you don't know how to pray for yourself. Now here's the fifth piece of joyous news. You ready? The Holy Spirit knows the Father's will perfectly. This is what it says. Verse 27. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind, what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And here's one of the most persistent problems believers run into. How can I know I'm praying according to the will of God? How can I know that God really wants the things that I think I want when I'm praying? It's where we started. The Spirit of God has complete, absolute, perfect, flawless knowledge of God the Father, and he has complete, perfect, flawless knowledge of you and your heart. And he has absolute, complete, perfect, flawless knowledge of what God wants for you. The part that's missing is you don't know what God wants for you. I don't know what God wants for me. Oh, we know some general things that are taught for us in the Bible. And that's where, you know, thank God for our Christian parents if we had them. Thank God for what we've already learned from the Bible. But there's just so much, so many particular minutely detailed issues that we just don't know exactly what God wants. And so when we pray, we keep asking, how can I know that God is listening to me? Especially when you get to a verse like 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, well, I want him to hear me when I don't ask according to his will. I want him to hear me when I ask according to my will. But that's not what it says. Verse 15, there in 1 John 5 says, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. I want to have the request that I ask of him. I want to pray, Lord, I really, really, really need that Tesla. God, get me one of those. And if I just pray for it hard enough, then surely it says right here that we have the request that we have asked of him. Except it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Look, this is what we, as Christians, we just need to get with this. We usually don't even know what we really need, much less what God actually wants. The precise details of God's will, you won't know till the events have already taken place. And you're standing in what is now the future, looking back at what is yet to happen. That's when you'll know when God's precise will is. In the meantime, you tell God what you want with all the passion of your heart, because that's what your Father wants you to do. He wants his child to say, "Father, Daddy, this is what I want." And expect that the Holy Spirit of God is going to clean up and straighten out your prayers as he presents them to the Father, and that God is going to answer your prayers in accordance with his wisdom, his love, and his mercy. Submit yourself to the fact that God the Father will grant the perfect prayers that his Spirit presents to him on your behalf. God may not say yes to all the things that you thought you wanted, because he sure hasn't said yes to all the things I thought I wanted. In fact, I don't know anybody who has a yes to everything that you think you want. But I do know this, every Christian believer, if you're really a follower of Jesus Christ, you can pray every day with the knowledge that God is listening to you and that he will give you what is good for you. Because he's your Father, he loves you, and he hears you. Even when you can't figure out what you think or how to say what you're thinking, he hears you because his Spirit is praying for you. I want to be careful not to just dismiss people who maybe have heard a certain kind of teaching. The teaching that seems to say, if you really just accept Jesus, you'll get everything you want. Or that says, if you just say the right words when you're praying, you'll get everything you want. Or if you'll give the right kind of money to the right ministries, you'll get everything you want. I mean, a lot of people have heard that. They've taught that, they've been taught that, and they've actually believed it. And some of them have given lots of money to some of those ministries, thinking that if they'll just give that seed of faith, that God will grant all their requests. Maybe some of us in this room have done that. Now, I don't want to just dump on you. But I do want to tell you that what the scripture teaches about how God listens to prayer and how he answers prayer is expressed maybe more beautifully, more powerfully, more correctly right here than anywhere else. I don't want to say more correctly because there's nothing incorrect in the Bible. More beautifully and more powerfully and more comprehensively than anywhere else in the Bible right here. And what this says is that if it's according to the will of God, the Spirit of God knows what's according to the will of God. And he knows how to pray for you. He does pray for you. And if in fact you've bought into some of that bad teaching that says you can have whatever you want if you just pray for it with enough, if you just drum up enough faith or something, you can just have whatever you want. I say this because we had one guy a number of years ago, this sweet guy, loved Jesus. When he came, he sat just a little bit, maybe a couple of rows behind where Carol's sitting right now. Okay, it's usually where he sat. It's a good guy. Loved Jesus. Had been told by the doctors that he had cancer. He would not, I will not confess the evil news that I have cancer. I don't need to take the treatments they want to give me.
I'm just going to trust God and he's going to heal me. He has already healed me. I'm just confessing that it's so. And I watched that man over the course of a couple of years shrivel up and die of cancer. Because he didn't really understand what the Bible teaches about prayer and God's answers to prayer. I'm not saying he would have lived longer. I don't know that. I have no way of knowing that. I'm just saying that he made some decisions that he didn't have to make because he misunderstood some things in the Bible. And I really want you to understand the really good news of how God listens to your prayers and he cares about your prayers. He loves your prayers. And he loves you so much he'll even answer the prayer that you should be praying rather than the one that you are praying. But what he won't answer is the prayer you're not praying. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, the only way to fail at prayer is to fail to pray. Can I say that again? The only way to fail at prayer is to fail to pray. You cannot go wrong praying. The Spirit of God, this is a promise right here. It's not even like one of those promises in the little promise books that you buy at Walmart. Okay? I mean, it's a real promise, really taken right out of the proper context here in the scripture. This is the promise of God. He hears your prayers. He even hears the prayers that you should be praying, but you don't have enough sense to know to pray them. Isn't that good news? That's such good news. Especially for me, because I don't have much sense sometimes. But God does know me, and he loves me, and he hears me. And he knows you and he loves you and he hears you and hears you. So pray. 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 There's only one kind of person that this doesn't apply to. And that's the person who will not come to Jesus and take him as Lord and Savior. If you're that person, then all of this beautiful stuff is not yours yet. You have to come to Jesus. You have to belong to Jesus. I'm getting ready to preach a whole new sermon.
Father in heaven, help us. Help us right now to hear. I pray especially if there's someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who is not following him, who is not trusting him. Oh, Lord, help that person to come to Jesus right now. In their mind, in their heart, in their soul. Help them to simply cry out, God, I believe Jesus lived for me. And died for me and rose again for me. I don't know much of anything, but if you'll teach me, I'll listen. Jesus, I don't know much, but if you'll lead me, I'll follow. If you'll accept me, I accept you. Please show me where to go from here. That's simply the prayer of a heart crying out to Jesus. Asking for a new start, a new way, a new chance, maybe a first chance.
maybe a 5,372nd chance. So rest in your Father's loving arms. Cry out to Him. Amen and amen. Thank you guys for listening to that. I hope it was a blessing to you. I hope it was a reminder to you that God loves you and that God hears you. Remember what Jesus did so that you could have that kind of relationship with Him. The truth is that someone had to pay for the wrong that you have done, the things that you have said or thought or felt that are wrong, the way you hurt others, the way you hurt yourself, the way you've disregarded God, the way you've disrespected God. Someone had to pay for all that, and Jesus did. He lived the life that you couldn't live, should have, but couldn't. And they died the death that you should have died, but He died in your place. He rose again 3 days later for you. If you believe it, if you believe it, it's yours. Do you believe it? I hope you do. So now we take a little bit of time together to pray, or I should say to remember what Jesus did. Now look, what we're doing right now is for followers of Jesus, okay? If you're not a follower of Jesus yet, then that's okay. We love you and we're so glad you're here. I mean, we're thrilled you're here. But when Jesus did this, on the first night he did it with his disciples, okay? And so this is for disciples or followers of Jesus, okay? And if you're not sure whether you are a follower of Jesus, you think maybe you're not, then you don't need to participate in this. In fact, we'd encourage you not to. If you are a follower of Jesus, then just listen. Listen to the same words that you hear me repeating week after week. This is what Paul said as he was speaking to the Corinthian Christians. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And that's the truth. Look, if you don't understand it yet, that's fine. I love the fact that you realize you don't understand it yet or you don't accept it yet, and that's fine. I really would love to talk to you about it. Okay? Really would. I stand up here, I yell and I scream and I get loud and such. But the truth is that I've had plenty of times in my life when I've not understood things, I've not accepted things, and I've had to work through some things. I think every honest person has been through that. And I'd love to talk to you about it if you need to talk to someone. Okay? For now, everyone who doesn't yet know for sure you're a follower of Jesus, just know that I love you and I really want to talk to you about it. Between now and when I get to, I just love you. That's period. I'd love you. I'm so glad you're here. For everyone who is a follower of Jesus, then this is for you and for me. It's for us to remember what was done for us when we couldn't do anything for ourselves. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember, in our weakness, just as the Spirit came to help us and comes to help us in our weakness now, the Son came to help us in our weakness. That's what we're remembering right now. And so